Falcon fans, Falcon fans, Falcon fans, and of course, John Michaels from 680 The Fan.
John Michaels.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to One Time for the Fan, episode 182. We are back talking Atlanta Falcons football. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, and of course, we have a special guest here with us, John Michaels from 680 The Fan. Glad you can take the time out of your day to come talk to us, John. How's everything going, sir?
Man, it's good. We got a quarterback. I don't have to watch Desmond Ridder ever play quarterback for my football team again. So, yeah, I feel good. I'm going to be at more games this year. I can promise you that damn much.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. We asked John how he was doing, and already shots being fired already. But, man, it's going down in a major way for those in the chat, for those listening, for those watching. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google us, One Time for the Fan. John Michaels is here talking Falcons football with us. Terry, how are you doing over there on your side, sir?
I am doing well. I am just really humbled and ecstatic to be with our esteemed guests. And hey, man, looking forward to talking some Falcons football with Mr. John Michaels. Mr. Michaels, it is a pleasure to meet you and share even the screen with you. And I'm just looking forward to it. So thank you.
Look, I'll tell you, I'm just a regular dude, just like everybody else. I just got a cool job. That's really all there is to it. I got dad duty as soon as I'm done here. I got to go coach my ninth graders. I'm getting ready for a basketball tournament. I got to drive to North Carolina tonight. So my time's big, but you know what? This is what I like to do. I like to talk to guys like you that want to talk Falcons football, that are in the bends every weekend, that are up at Flowery Branch, that are having a good time. That's the pulse of the city. I don't need to hear from the people that are naysayers. I know we've stunk for a long time, but you know what? The outlook is looking good coming up in 2024. I like the direction that we're going. I think Coach Raheem Morris is going to do some good things. I like what Terry Fontenot's done. Now go get me Hassan Reddick in a trade. Go draft me Dallas Turner and Jared Verse, and let's go get some dudes that can put a quarterback's ass on the ground.
Let's do it.
Falcon fans in the chat, Falcon fans listening, watching, do you see why John Michaels is here? Do you see why we love bringing special guests to the podcast? We're over 40, I think, 40 special guests, John.
Okay.
That we've had. We've had Mr. Fricky, too, as well. Big shout out to John Fricky. We've had Miles Garrett, too, as well. We've had a lot of Falcon fans. We've had, man, down the line, like a bunch of Falcon content creators who love talking Falcons football. But are you hearing it from John Michaels, Falcon fans in the chat? Are you hearing it? He talks with the passion of knowing football, but also wanting to see his team win. And that is what we do here on One Time for the Fan. We always bring up Falcon fans and content creators, and of course, journalists like John, too, as well, who not only cover the game, but they are a major fan of the Atlanta Falcons. John, looking at the Atlanta Falcons right now, you talked about it soon as I asked you the first question about Desmond Ridder and about Kirk Cousins, that we have a quarterback. What is your thoughts on the quarterback issue before the Kirk Cousins situation and now after? Because fans are looking at it as, we could have got Fields. We could have got Russell Wilson. We could have went rookie. We could have went in the draft. But Kirk Cousins was the choice for the Atlanta Falcons. Just your thoughts on that, and get the fan base riled up, John, because everybody's in here ready to hear what you have to say.
It's funny. If you backed up to last August, I said, you know what? I see potential in Desmond Ridder. I watched him in college. You know, you don't win 24, 25, 26 games out of 27 unless you could really play that position. And he did. And he played well at Cincinnati. He played decent in the game against Alabama in the playoff game. Unfortunately, everybody else on his team looked like they were scared shitless to play. And I guess we could curse here, which is good. I got to be careful because I'll let filth and floor fire away.
John, you can say whatever you want over here.
Yeah, I still got to be careful because people have gotten in trouble on podcasts. We make fun of that all the time, that people say things because they get too comfortable on a podcast, and I don't want to do that. Understand. But I'll back up. I never wanted Marcus Mariota. You know, I thought the Deshaun Watson thing was an absolute joke. You basically ran away your franchise guy and Matt Ryan and made it where he had to be traded. Then you gave Marcus Mariota a job in April with zero competition as if he had been some star as the number two pick. So I thought that was a huge misstep. Then last year, when Marcus decides to leave, you give Desmond Ridder the job with no type of competition, and then you don't play him at all in the preseason, which pissed me off because you're talking about a guy that had four-game sample size that had never played. Now, there were some good things that Desmond Ridder did. I'm not going to lie to you. There were moments I go, okay, this guy looks like he's turning the corner. But every time he'd have those moments, he'd have three moments where I go, why is this guy my starting quarterback? fumbling at the half yard line against Tampa, throwing red zone picks, just doing a lot of stupid things. So I think as the season progressed and we did the Heinicke, you know, in and out, which Taylor's a good kid. I actually called one of his games when he was in high school way back, probably 2010 when he played for Collins Hill. So, you know, I knew Taylor, I knew his family a little bit. But he is what he is. He's a backup quarterback who can win you a game or two, and you don't need him to start long-term. There's a reason that he was signed as a backup. Fast forward to the end of the season, you don't make the playoffs. We kind of knew Arthur Smith was going to be gone. And then the very next question after that, and I know Mr. Blank and Rich McKay were asked this, what do you do at quarterback? So you just brought up all the options. And I'm not going to lie, I flip-flopped 50 times between January and the time that Kirk Cousins was signed. At first for me, it was, let's rebuild this the right way. Mm-hmm. Move up in the draft, mortgage, and go get your guy. And it doesn't matter which one of the three it is, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or obviously Caleb Williams. Drake May would have been a distant third for me just to keep score at home. I like Jaden Daniels and obviously Caleb Williams better.
Yep.
But knowing that, you would have had to give up a lot. You're talking about multiple first-round picks, probably your second, and you would have had to mortgage a whole lot of what your future was going to be and then hope that the guy you drafted turned out to be good. Everybody goes, oh, you get a starting quarterback at the top of the draft. That's easy. Well, if you look back over the last 4 or 5 years, first-round picks hit at about 40%. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Mac Jones isn't there anymore. Trey Lance isn't there anymore. Zach Wilson's almost cut. Justin mm-hmm. Fields was traded, and Trevor Lawrence is just a dude. Mm-hmm. He's nobody special. So mm-hmm. I kind of flip-flopped from that. Then I started looking at money, and I always like to look at this in an analytical way, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what we can do. And I said, you know, if Russell Wilson gets cut, he's not going to cost much money. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, we had KJ Wright in studio maybe a year ago, and he sort of alluded to Russell Wilson really ain't a guy's guy, and guys in the locker room, for whatever reason, don't like him. He mm-hmm. wouldn't go in depth with it, but he kind of alluded to the fact that
you're not the first person to mention this either. Not the first person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't the dude you want leading your team. So I kind of pulled back from that. And I go, well, the money would be good. Is he really a dude that's going to lead you somewhere? Then I was on the Justin Fields thing. But the more I got to thinking about Justin Fields, and I asked Finn and Joe and home team the same question. I said, if Justin Fields was from Indiana, do Falcon fans want him the same way?
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
Yeah,
because if you look at it truthfully, he was a superstar in high school, no doubt about it, Harrison High School. He should have been a superstar at the University of Georgia, whatever happened there. He was really good in college. Mm-hmm. But in the NFL, he's kind of just been Desmond Ridder with better running stats. Mm-hmm. So then I turned my attention. I said, if Kirk Cousins is there, and I even put out a tweet maybe 2 days before I ranked him, and I had Cousins, then Fields, mm-hmm. then Wilson, mm-hmm. then stay at 8 and take whoever's left, and then it was trade up to go get somebody. So I was really happy with Kirk Cousins. My biggest thing with Kirk the entire time was the money. Now, this year it doesn't hurt. He only counts $25 million against the cap. No big deal. You're going to look 2 years from now, and you're probably either going to cut them and eat some money, or you're going to renegotiate at that point. So mm-hmm. I like it. You've got a guy now. And I know all what the naysaying is going to say. He's a 1-1 playoff game. He's choked, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? At one point, Matt Ryan was winless in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, he's taking us to a Super Bowl. So for the long quick, I like the fact that we got Kirk Cousins, and that position now is solidified, and you don't have to think about it for at least a year or two.
John, you're saying all this, and great. Oh my God, that was fantastic. I don't even know how to even follow up with this. But you said all that, you haven't mentioned the injury. For some fans would say that's a concern. For me, and Terry, of course, you know, we're at one time for the fan chat. Big shout to Chase, big shout to Bodie. They're not here tonight too, as well. Big shout to Kiki. But for John, I mentioned this in our chat. I had a list of 5 quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. From rumors, speculation, and who could be the fit. Terry went over this before the free agency. How many teams needed quarterbacks and who can get a quarterback? I had Russell Wilson on the list. I had Justin Fields on the list. I had Jaden Daniels on the list. I had Drake May on the list. And I had the last spot open to see how it was going to work out. And, of course, Kirk Cousins' name came in around the combine situation. So I was like, okay, well, let me see how this is going to work out. Come to find out, the Falcons did select Kirk Cousins. I'm perfectly fine with it. I had a list of guys that I already did my research on. Of course, Kirk Cousins from playing the league for so long and me being a Matt Ryan fan. I'm comfortable with the Falcons want. I saw what they did in L.A. with their coaching staff with Raheem and Zach Robinson and so forth. So I lean toward they wanted a pocket passing elite processor, a veteran, to make Zach Robinson's job a little bit easier. And I was comfortable with what it was because I had the names on the list. Terry, you hear what John is talking about with Kirk Cousins, and fans here in the chat are now getting more and more excited as we get closer and closer to the season. They've heard Kirk Cousins speak to the media. They've seen pretty much the tweets of how, you know, he's a team player and what he can do to help build this team. Just your thoughts on Kirk Cousins now with the Atlanta Falcons, Terry.
I'm excited about Kirk. You know, I think one of the first things that impressed me about him is the fact that he is reaching out to all of his receivers, all of his tight ends, and he wants to go back to their college days to see how they catch the ball, where they like to receive it, yak yards, rack yards, everything about them trying to build that continuity. I like that. I really like that. The other thing I like is that he took number 18. You know, he didn't have to. He could have gone to Kyle and said, hey, what's it going to take? And maybe they did have a conversation. But ultimately, he took number 18, which means he's unselfish. And this guy's about the team. And I think as the leader of our Falcons offense and the leader of our team, I think that is sorely needed. Not that Ritter was selfish. I'm not saying that. But to me, Kirk knows what he's doing. You can book him for about 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, maybe 5 interceptions. And I think with that and with our defensive performance, essentially being what it was last year, I think we are a playoff team. So I'm very excited about Kirk and looking forward to see what he and the Falcons can do this year.
Falcon fans, you see the moves the team has made so far after getting Kirk with the Rondale Moore situation, of course, Daryl Mooney too as well, Cadero Hodge too as well. Falcon fans are looking at the draft and saying maybe we can go wide receiver at 8. Maybe we should go edge rusher at 8. Just how the team is looking right now. John, you're a big football guy. You're a big draft guy too as well. I know you're a Canes fan. We're all dogs. we're dogs here. I know you're a Canes guy. There it is. There goes the U. What are you looking at when it comes to the draft, John? You've seen so far how the team is being set up. There's this Hassan Reddick could possibly be traded soon. Falcons maybe could be a contender. What is your thoughts before even that trade happens, if it does happen, but what the Falcons could do in draft? Is it the wide receiver for you? Is it a corner? Because some fans have even mentioned that corner, the young kid from Toledo, I think it's Quinyon Mitchell. Yep. Another name that people were talking about, and then the kid from Alabama too as well. Edge rushers, Dallas Turner, the young man from UCLA, Jared Verse. John, what is your thoughts on the draft for the Atlanta Falcons?
We were talking about this again this morning. The last time, Hassan, and I brought up Hassan Reddick for a reason. 4 straight years he's had double-digit sacks. If I'm not mistaken, the last Falcon to have double-digit sacks was Vic Beasley in 2016. We have not had a single double-digit sack guy in now 7 seasons, which is almost impossible in the NFL. But when you have multiple years that you had 18 sacks as a team, 19, you understand where it is. You have to go the best edge rusher available. I like Dallas Turner. I've seen Jared Verse play in person. 1 year against Miami, he ate our lunch. Last year against a true freshman, Francis Malanoa, he didn't sniff the backfield. And Malanoa will be a first-round draft pick in 3 years. Mark my words, that kid is – he is he's Penei Sewell, Jonathan Ogden. He's all of that as a true freshman. I'd like Turner first, but if Turner's gone and Verse is there, I would be okay with that as well. The kid Latu, I'll be honest, I don't know as much about him. I'm going to have to watch more film on him. You know, UCLA wasn't a team that I was staying up till 11:30 at night to pay attention to. Unless I had an offensive guy on my college fantasy team, I didn't do much of that. But I think you need to go there. Now, there's rumors that Minnesota wants to jump into the top 10 to potentially draft J.J. McCarthy. I don't know that they would give us 11 and 23, but I'd sure as hell ask. Because I think if I could slide back to 11, I could still get Jared Verse. And then there's the kid Cooper DeJean, big corner out of Iowa. He's a white kid that plays corner, which just to have a white guy playing corner would be awesome because they don't exist in the NFL like ever. And I would laugh like hell to see this. Him and Jason Sehorn, I think, would be the only two maybe in the history of the NFL. But I think the priority to me is edge rusher, corner and then wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And if you look at this receiver draft, I get it. I love Roma Dunsey.
Fact.
Obviously, Marvin Harrison. You know, you talk about all the guys at the top. But you can start looking second and third round. Jermaine Burton.
Yep.
Is it Tez Watkins out of North Carolina? That kid can fly.
St. Jackson, too, as well, from Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot of different guys that you can start getting second and third round. And with 2 third-round picks, I think you could replenish at receiver there. So I would go edge rusher. If I end up trading for Landry, I'd still go edge rusher, because mm-hmm. then you're going to have Grady, Onyemata, say Landry, and then Dallas Turner. You're still mm-hmm. going to have Ebukadi, who had 6.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. I'd re-sign Calais Campbell to a kind of a low-money deal. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, the defensive line, throw Caden Ellis in there, who could rush from linebacker, and you look really good.
Mm-hmm. Falcon fans, can you hear that?
Yeah.
That's a lot to piggyback off of. I'm telling you, when you got a guy like John Michaels here talking Falcons football, it is great, because fans want to hear this. John, our chat, they're used to the 8 o'clock hour. So I know there's some fans here like, what are y'all doing here at 6 o'clock? This is kind of random.
Normally it's 6 o'clock. It's time for Greg Street to rock, but I can't steal his thunder.
Hey, big shout out to Street, man. Big shout out to everybody over there at V1032 as well. Anytime we have special guests and we try to match times whenever they can get on, or we can meet up to their time frame because they have stuff to do, we will do that. I think Falcon fans have been here long enough to know that we've done 3 o'clock in the afternoon podcast on a Friday. We've done our Sunday shows sometimes in the morning, even in the evening. But at the end of the day, it's all about bringing content to the Falcons community so that way you guys can enjoy it. I know you guys are ready for the draft coming up. Probably this Hassan Reddick news is getting everybody all geared up. John, quick question for you. If mm-hmm. you're going to make a trade for Hassan Reddick, it's possible that you may want to trade that 8th pick to gain some trade value back, right?
Yeah, potentially. You know, and I don't know what the asking price is going to be. I've read 3rd-round pick. That's kind of why I bring that up. But if you lose a 3rd-rounder and then, hey, you can trade with, again, I just use Minnesota as an example because they have 2 first-round picks, and they'll let you go get 11 and 23. Well, now you've got more ammunition to maybe move back. I'm always the guy that's about accumulating picks, because then you can miss on a pick and it doesn't hurt as bad. Like Thomas Dimitroff was my dude, and I know Falcon fans didn't like him a lot of times. TD did a lot of really good things in this place, and I got to know him really well when I did sidelines for the team. He was one, though, that was uber aggressive. He would just – it was like he didn't give a damn about 3rd- and 4th-round picks. He was throwing them away and moving up 10 spots to go get people. So I'm always in favor of moving back, but I'd love to do that. Reddick does come with a price, though. Mm-hmm. With Reddick, you're going to have to – part of it, he wants a new deal, and I think he's going to want about $16 to $20 million per year. Mm-hmm. Falcons right now only have $4 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is you've got a lot of guys, and I forgot who we had on the other day. Maybe it was D-Led. D-Led called them ATMs, guys that have contracts where you can move money. Chris Lindstrom.
Gady. Lindstrom. Yep. Matthews. Bates. Yeah.
All of those guys, you can accumulate and move back and probably end up giving yourself $40 or $45 million in cap space.
Hold on. Fans were talking about 10 or 15 or 20
million. No.
$40 million. That's a whole lot of money, John.
Yeah. That means you can even bring in more dogs that you want to. You can make some power moves in that scenario. Now, I don't know that they'll do that because, you know, you think about that, and I see the guy, the Kenneth, putting a message, we don't have money. Look, there's always money in the NFL. This is all I'll tell
the Saints
anybody.
Don't have no money, but they continue to find money for some way, somehow.
Every year, they're like $40 million over, and then at the end of it, they're like $20 million under.
The Saints owe me money right now. I don't know.
There's certain days, like you, by the start of the new league year, you have to get under the salary cap, which everybody will make moves, and they cut people, and they restructure. Anything that's not guaranteed parts of the contract, you can move around. So just for instance, and I think Chris Lindstrom, I could be wrong because I don't have the numbers sitting right in front of me, but like I think his base salary is 12 and a half. He has like a $5.5 million signing bonus, a $2 million roster bonus. Well, the base salary of 12 and a half, that's what you restructure. You now say, hey, we're going to give you this in a signing bonus and we'll prorate it out over the next 5 years. So if it's, you know, if it's 12 and a half, you prorate $2 million a year. Now his base salary turns into $1 million and you gain $11 million in cap space. Now what you're doing is kicking the can down the road. It's what we did for years with Matt Ryan, with Julio Jones, when he got new money, all you're doing is kicking the can down the road. And that's how you end up working it out. So fans, do not worry about cap space. Literally, the Saints were $90 million over 2 weeks ago. They just signed Chase Young at $13 million yesterday. The Cowboys were like $70 million over. They're going to give Dak Prescott $65 million. There's always ways around this. I'll give you the bet. There you go. Spotrac, best site going. If you want salary cap stuff. So I can't see. I'm blind as hell, which is why home team wants me to go get my eyes checked. What's his base salary right here for this year?
Jake Matthews, $15 million.
So you could change that $15 million and add another year or two on his contract, turn it into a signing bonus to make his base pay $2 million bucks this year. Yeah, and now you've just added $13 million in cap space. I challenge anybody, go to this website, Spotrac. You can literally look at Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom, Jesse Bates. AJ Terrell is the guy that's on a fifth-year option at $12 million bucks. Guess what? Hey, AJ, we're going to pay you for 5 years. You're going to get $70 million, whatever it may be. But this year, you're only going to count $2 million against the cap because it's all going to be in signing bonus. I do want to answer something from earlier before I got to run. You asked me about Kirk Cousins and the Achilles, and I know that's a concern. I can't pick my leg up, but I've torn both of mine. I've torn both my Achilles. It is not an easy recovery. That's number one. It is not an easy recovery. But with modern medicine, it's less than a year for you to come back completely healthy. So I'll give a story about both of mine. My first one, I tore at 34 years old. I was playing in a football tournament. Shocking. And I tore my Achilles on the last play of the semifinals of the national championship. I jumped on a pile. True story. I was jumping on a pile to celebrate because we won on the last play of the game and my Achilles popped. A longer story for a longer day. It took me a full calendar year. Mind you, this is almost 16 years ago to recover. Back then, I had to have surgery. I was in a cast for 12 weeks. I was in a walking boot for 12 more weeks. By the time I came out of all of that, my calves were just jello, and it took forever to recover. 16 years later, that leg still doesn't work. My second one, I tore at 40 years old in June. No, it must have been May. And Dr. Karros used to be the Falcons team doctor. This was when I was doing radio for the team and traveling. And I looked and I go, oh, my God, I'm going to be in a walking boot when preseason kicks off. And I used to walk about 5 miles on the sideline. I would kind of check myself going back and forth. Well, Dr. Karros told me there was a different procedure. And this was now 10 years ago, but it was 6 years after my first one. I was out of a boot in a brace, not even a brace, like a neoprene sleeve for about 6 weeks. That leg, I right now act like that leg has never been hurt. So modern medicine, Kirk Cousins tore his week 8 last year. So you're talking about almost a full calendar year for a quarterback who already doesn't run. I use Dan Marino as an example. Dan Marino tore his Achilles in the middle of 93. First time I'd ever seen a guy tear his Achilles, just fell down. Came back, I think it was 94. He ended up winning comeback player of the year. And again, this is 30 years ago. His leg looked completely ridiculous. He couldn't move, but he could still get back there and sling it. So Falcon team doctors obviously are top notch. They know what they're doing. I wouldn't overly worry about it. Your chances of re-tearing the same Achilles are like 2%. I know people will point and say, what happened to Mike Soroka? Soroka was still recovering, took a misstep, and tore it again. So don't get too concerned. You know, obviously he's not been a guy that's been injury prone in his career. So I think he'll be fine with Kirk.
Falcon fans, hit that like, hit that share, hit that subscribe button, hashtag one timers in the chat. John Michaels from 680 The Fan is here talking Falcons football with us. Terry, before John gets up out of here, I know he has some stuff to do. You want to piggyback off that, follow up with that?
Did have one question for you, John, and I respect you. Be very quick. John, in a few words, or as many words as you like, this year for the Falcons is a success if, and by the same token, this year for the Falcons is a failure if.
I am a very keep it real, sometimes way too real for anybody. You have not made the playoffs since 2017 when you lost at the 3-yard line to the Philadelphia Eagles. I was standing 5 feet from Julio Jones when that pass went incomplete.
Play action rollout to Julio on the sideline. Yeah.
And he slipped. And Julio slipped and he may have got shoved to the ground and everything else. And we, again, thinking we were going to be right back the next year because the team was still built to win. This year is a success simply if you're hosting a game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in January mm-hmm. that has playoffs next to it, mm-hmm. that means you win the division. That's your easiest way to get into the playoffs. It is a failure if you are not in the playoffs. You did not fire Arthur Smith and get rid of Desmond Ridder to go 7-10 or 8-9. Raheem Morris was not my first choice. I'm not going to lie to you. But I met Coach Ra a bunch of times when I was traveling with the team.
That was on your sideline, right? Raheem Morris was there, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Great dude. He's energetic. The players love him. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to respond to him. But success and failure is simple. In the playoffs, success. Because I won't judge how deep you go. Because once you get in the playoffs, ain't all bets are off. A guy rolls his ankle. A guy has, a tip goes in. A guy fumbles, whatever. But you got to be in the playoffs. You cannot go a seventh straight year without making the playoffs. And I think the moves they're making are going to put it there. It's playoffs or bust. I got the Braves with World Series or bust. But the Hawks are the Hawks are done. Who gives a damn about the Hawks? For Georgia, the plan. It's national title or bust. Falcons are playoffs or bust.
Yeah.
Falcon fans, hit the like, share. What about Miami?
Which one? The Canes or the Dolphins?
Canes.
We better win 10 games. This is year three of Mario Cristobal. We gave mm-hmm. him $85 million. Now he has upgraded the talent. I know people that don't really pay attention to Miami football the way I do. He's brought in back-to-back top five recruiting class. First time that's ever happened in program history, which mm-hmm. is crazy with all the dogs they've had years and years and years ago. But you got to start winning football games. You brought in the best transfer quarterback in Cam Ward from Washington State. Go whoop Florida's ass game one. I'll be there. Shout out to all my Canes fans that are driving down to Gainesville. Whoop Florida State's ass. In October, I'll be at that one. And Joe Hamilton, I love you, brother, and I love Brent Key. We need some get back for not taking a knee last year against Georgia Tech. That's right around my birthday, so I'll be at that one as well. So 10 wins, maybe that sneaks you in the new college football playoff, but I just want to see Miami back where, in October, I still have interest of them winning football games.
Falco fans, this is great when you got John Michaels talking Falcons football with us. I know he has to run. He has some things to take care of. John, the platform is yours once again. Shout-outs. I know you have a lot of people. Do you have a card to read from for the shout-outs, or do you have a list of names on a notebook? Or
no. All I ever say is, give us a listen. Tap the app. Download our 680 The Fan app. Listen all day long. The locker room with home team, myself, Joe Hamilton, and Finn, Matt Lear, and Brody, our Saint fan producer. We have a lot of fun every day. We have, hit me up on social media, at John Michaels U. I promise you, I'm interactive. I'm cool. I do want to come back and do this where I have more time. Yeah. Like, we got to do one of these Sundays where I got an hour and a half. I could have a Tito's in my hand and we can really get loose. Maybe after the draft, we can react to what the draft is. I'd love to come back, man. You guys are great. And we need to hang out, have a Tito's and maybe just Tito's. I don't even need a chaser at this point.
Definitely. And of course, you saw me at training camp last year. You know, where I was on that front row yelling at the Falcons. We love our team, man. Quick question. I know you have the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, March Madness too, as well. You have your own March Madness going on with the radio station hosts, and you have a tough little bracket coming up because you got past the first round. I think you have who? Carl Duke's coming up?
No, I got Stake. I got Stakey in round two. So I did this during COVID, and you'd be amazed how many radio personalities get so offended with this, and you manipulated the matchups. I literally go onto an app and I put the 32 names in and I just hit random. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Literally, we're all friends in this business. People don't realize that. Like, you've probably seen me at camp and I'm standing next to Dukes and Bell. I mean, I worked with them forever.
The tents are right there next to each other. You guys are broadcasting. Yeah.
Randy McMichael lives 10 minutes from me. His wife and my wife get along great. We go over there and hang out. I love my guys at 680, obviously. I've known Nick and Chris 20 some odd years. State gave me my first on-air job. What do I care? But we'll have the second round up. I'm intrigued. Home team goes against Carl Dukes, which, of course, Tizzle looks at me and goes, "You going to put the brothers against each other?" I said, "That's just how it worked out." Randy McMichael and Matt Chernoff will be a fascinating matchup. Me and Stake will be a lot of fun. Buck takes on Finn. So it's all in good fun. I like the fans to vote. We don't take it too – well, some of us don't take it too seriously. I do it just to have some content. So make sure you check it out. Tomorrow we'll have the round of 16. Then I'll wait till next week, like Wednesday, Friday, mm-hmm. to do the semifinals and the finals and kind of go with that.
John Michaels from 680 The Fan. Falcon fans, hit that like, share, and subscribe button. Not only for one time for The Fan, head on over to Twitter, head on over to, or X, whatever it's called, Twix, whatever they call it now. of course, John Michaels, 680 The Fan, follow him on Twitter too as well. You can also listen to them, 680 The Fan. John, 6 to 10 in the morning?
6 to 10, yep. I got a long night tonight. I got basketball practice. You see, SBC, Swanee Basketball Club, my ninth graders, if you got a team, I'm telling you, I got them dogs coming for you. We are going to press your ass out the building because that's all that we're pressing. We're running. We're like old UNLV. So I got practice. They go home. I got to drive to North Carolina. We'll be at Harris Cherokee tomorrow. Make sure you listen. It'll be fun. We'll be loud and we'll be gambling. And if you happen to come up there, swing on by, come see us. You'll see us all walking around. I'll be at the craps table. See if I can do. Last year, I think I broke a record. 47 rolls in a row. 47. Brian Hoyt was standing behind me. He goes, if you weren't such a chicken shit and would actually put money on the table, he was like, you would have won like 10 grand right now.
Hey, teach us a thing or two when we go to the when we come to the casino, John. Please,
dude,
teach us a thing
or two. That was just the luck of the roll. That's all it was.
I'm a slot machine guy, man. I can sit over there, free drinks, couple pennies, couple nickels, couple dimes. I'm in and out, man.
I was like, slots, you aren't going to win. I play blackjack and craps, and now that I know how to play craps, that's where you either, like, you can walk in with 100 and walk out with 5 grand in about 30 minutes, or you can walk in and with 5 grand and walk out with 100 in those same 5 minutes. So it's a very risky, but it's a fun game. Mm.
Falcon fans, you got to love it. Hit that like, share, and subscribe button. John, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for everything that you did tonight, and we will get you back on another podcast soon. Thank you, brother.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Falcon fans, this is great when you have diehard Atlanta Falcon fans, content creators, journalists, radio hosts, it doesn't matter. Talking Falcons football with us.
Amen.
I didn't expect to go live today at 6 o'clock, but that was entertaining.
It was entertaining. It was.
That's the reason why John Michael, that's the reason when I went over the list of how many people we can get on this podcast and who we should reach out to for the podcast, bro, my homeboy was like, bro, you got to hit up John Michael.
Got to do it.
You have to hit up John Michaels. And I was thinking, yeah, I did talk to John Michaels last year at training camp. But then again, we never get him on the podcast. And that's how time works sometimes. You know, a whole season that went by. We've listened to John. We've retweeted John. We've talked to John on X and Twitter and whatever. But a year later, going into the offseason of the next, of the new Atlanta Falcons team, John's here on the podcast talking Falcons football with us.
Yep.
And the chat loved it. And that's what it's about. It's about bringing content to the chat from Kenneth to Deshaun, Lisa Shepherd, April Thomas, Sterling Woods, Terry, yourself, myself, Bodie, whoever listens and watches later on. That's what it's about.
Got some questions.
What's up, brother?
All right. So I'm excited about the new regime. I'm definitely excited about Raheem being here.
Yes.
But I do have some questions, and I do tend to, I'm a little like my brother where I romanticize about a season more so in the beginning, more so than actually take a factual approach. I guess a better way of saying it is I live in the world I want to be versus the world that it is. So my question is along those lines, for Arthur Smith, where do you think it went wrong for him? And the follow-up to that is, what can Raheem do to avoid that? And I'll say it again because I know it's a two-part question. So for Arthur Smith, our previous coach, previous regime, where do you think it went wrong for him? You know, what was his fatal flaw? What was his killing blow? You know, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? And then on the flip side, what can Raheem do to avoid that? And I'll wait for your answer.
So as a Falcon fan, I could say a lot about the whole Arthur Smith situation. And fans would say, as you can see, Jeff Wolf, his coaching. And as you were saying, this is the cool thing about the chat. As you're talking, they're already typing.
Yep.
And it does help me out a little bit with the content that, you know, we do put out here because everybody's opinion does matter in our chat. And we do love it. That's why we read it on the screen. But if you look at what happened with the Atlanta Falcons when Arthur Smith was here, I think the draft decisions that they made was decent. because some of those players are still in the building. Some of those players are going to probably end up being Falcons for a long period of time. And that was under Arthur Smith. Some of the players that they brought in, some of the players that they talked about, him and Terry together, those are under Arthur Smith. They brought him in. Jesse Bates, that was what Arthur Smith them. I love it. The problem was when it came down to the coaching, when it came down to certain types of game management situations for coach, he didn't do it right. Remember the two-point conversion thing that people kept questioning? Mm-hmm. And he said he went back and he did it because of what happened last year or the year before in Tampa or something, some game that he mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in certain situations where, you know, we would have went for like the field goal instead of going for the touchdown, or going for the touchdown instead of going for the field goal, going for the fourth and three with Desmond Ridder's rollout, the same rollout that they've been using for like multiple games.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't all on Ridder. That's why it's not a hate. It's not a rant here. Arthur Smith messed up with the coaching, and some of the decisions he made where he stuck by it. He stood on business. I will say that. He stood on business, and a lot of times that's what got him fired.
Okay.
In multiple ways. If you're looking at the Desmond Ridder situation, if you're looking at the Taylor Heineke situation, fans would say, man, we had all this talent on this roster. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get a quarterback out of these 3 years with Arthur Smith, but he built everything else around the quarterback without having a quarterback. Matt Ryan's gone. You bring in Mariota, and then Mariota's linked to Arthur Smith because of him in Tennessee, and fam, that shit went south quickly. And mm-hmm. then they trusted in Desmond Ridder, and then that shit went south quickly. Then they trusted in Taylor Heineke, and that didn't work out. And it's just like, for Falcon fans, they just is out with the old, in with the new. Now, where Raheem can come in and pick that up, I think Raheem talked about it when he had his press conference. He wouldn't be here if it was for the quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And where he can pick up on it is what he just did. He went to go get Kirk Cousins. He went to go get a guy who Zach Robinson feels as though makes his job a little bit easier with the plays that's about to be called.
Okay.
So he already came in and fixed one of the situations. They went to go get a veteran quarterback. I know it's not the sexiest pick. Falcon fans, I'm talking on the situation of just, I'm just talking here, right? I'm trying to be real with you. They went with Kirk Cousins. That was their choice. They went with years of experience from what they had with Matthew Stafford in LA, winning a Super Bowl ring with Matthew Stafford. Don't forget, he came off of zero playoff wins. Raheem trusted with Zach Robinson. He trusted in some of those guys he brought over in his coaching staff. And you can see he also trusted in Kirk Cousins because he was on that Washington Commanders coaching staff back in 2013-14. He is trusting with what he believes, and this goes back to, let me bring the picture up again. Where's the picture? It goes back to this, when we had our fan interview. After the press conference when he was hired, when he was in that back room, what he mentioned about revenge of the 2016 season, about bringing a championship to this city, about home, about this isn't the Ram style. This is our style.
Right.
Hearing this from Terry, hearing this from Raheem, made me believe that this is before free agency, y'all, this picture. It made me believe that something is about to happen that's going to change this entire franchise for the good.
Yes.
And so far, it is Kirk Cousins at the quarterback position. Don't forget, that is our offseason wow move. It's mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. We haven't done nothing else that's like a wow move. Okay, we traded Ridder. That's not like a wow move. The wow move was going to go spend such and such on Kirk Cousins at his age, you know.
Yeah.
Our next quarterback for the next 2 to 3 years. We already have Bates. We already have an all-pro safety. Mm-hmm. We already have A.J. Terrell, a top 10 corner. We already have Grady Jarrett, top 10, top 15, the defensive tackle. We already have Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom, the best guard in the league. We already have Kyle Pitts, damn near top 5, top 10 tight end in the league. We already have that. The big wow was getting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it through draft, or we talked about it through trade, or we talked about it through whatever. But they went with Kirk Cousins. So for Raheem, I think he can look at Coach Smith and say, you got to have a better player relationship with your players. You just can't be stuck in the playbook all day.
Okay.
I'm talking about in the playbook all flipping day. Yeah. You got to trust your coordinators. You got to trust your coaches.
Yeah. I definitely think, and we've spoken about this in previous shows, but I definitely think that initially, and you know what, this is no disrespect to Arthur, but I think the responsibility that comes with the head coach has tripled, maybe even quadrupled in the last 20 years. And a lot of coaches struggle with it. And I think he did, right? I think if Arthur Smith's just an offensive coordinator, I think the Falcons are a lot better team.
And I talked about that. Coordinators who are better coaches or head coaches or head coaches who are better coordinators. Sometimes it doesn't work out. It's the circumstances. Correct. Matt Nagy had it in Chicago where it just didn't work out. He went to Kansas City and just won a Super Bowl being the OC.
Correct.
Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator in Seattle, won a Super Bowl, went to Atlanta, went to the Super Bowl. After that, it was like, what happened? And then he's gone. You know, but some coordinators are better coordinators than they are when they become coaches. Raheem Morris, he had the head coaching experience before in the past. Fans know about it. The interim situation after Dan Quinn, fans know about it. But he was also in a Rams system where I heard the GM from the Rams and how they talked about the team and how they won the Super Bowl and Raheem's comments of how, you know, he wanted to be, you know, the Sean McVay to the GM of how that that connection was so close, your head coaching GM, your head coaching your owner. And he was just a coordinator around there. You know what I'm saying? But he wanted to get his moment. Hearing Mike Tomlin talk about them and other coaches, and he's a players guy, and it gets you really excited for this season.
Right? It does.
It gets you built up to say, wow, we got something new in here that's fresh. We got something new in here that can maybe change the culture back to a winning culture. But then, to add to that, I'm going to go ahead and get to it. To add to that, I know you can see it on the screen, you get this. You bring in a 4,500-yard passer. You bring in a guy who went 29-14 touchdown interception ratio almost 2 years ago, 33-7, 35-13. Terry, if the Falcon fans had to look at this and say, if this guy is healthy, I'm sorry, this guy should be healthy. Because as a Falcon fan, I want to believe he's going to be healthy and there's going to be an incredible season for us. But if you're looking at it right now, you're talking about he's getting ready to light the NFL on fire right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially whoever we play week one. You're talking about a guy who, I mean, it's right here. The stats are right here. 33-7, 35-13, 26-6, 30-10, 27-13. That's what the Falcons just paid for. They paid for a guy who can help them move the chains. I was in Arizona as a fan and in Tennessee as a fan. And their fans, Arizona Cardinals fans, turning to me in State Farm Stadium, telling me, hey, man, you guys are one quarterback away. After we lost to them, shook my hand and said, hey, you guys are one quarterback away. Mm-hmm. We just lost to a 1-8 team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I another question. Do you think with the recent success of the Braves winning the World Series in 2021 and them dogs winning two back-to-back, do you think that there is additional pressure on the Falcons organization to finally bring a championship home to Atlanta? What are your thoughts on that?
Also, you know, with the Smith situation, too, as well, I'm getting ready to answer that one, too. The play calling was another thing, too. He threw too much at Desmond Ridder. He should have never thrown. It was just too much of for a guy that's coming off of a system where there was no quarterbacks coach. Mariota wasn't a big help. Taylor Heineke, who's a backup, still playing a role that, you know, I could be the starter. Heineke knows situational right now. He's the backup. Kirk Cousins is a starter. Versus last year was more like, I can be ready at any time because X, Y, and Z can happen. Not about him getting injured, about this guy getting benched for performance. Versus Kirk Cousins, there is no benching Kirk Cousins week 11, week 12, week 13. Right, he's going to play it out. But the Falcons are, you know, everything to Atlanta because they just won this championship too as well. I mean, that's one of the reasons. But then again, the Braves have just been around for just a while, and they play good baseball. Mm-hmm. They're exciting. Mm-hmm. Even though it was at Turner Field, it was great to just take the Martyr and go downtown and just go watch a Braves game randomly on a Tuesday or a Thursday. so many games in the season that fans can enjoy it too as well. Football is just a short season. That's why we try to do so much with the content here. But do the Falcons have pressure on them? Yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Atlanta United has won a championship too as well. The soccer fans got what they want.
They won.
And guess what?
Say it again. They won it 3 years ago?
They won it in 2018.
Okay.
In 2018, they won it. Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almirón, Brad Guzan, and a fantastic supporting crew over there, Julian Gressel, Darlington Nagby, some great, phenomenal LGB, too, as well. Oh, what's his name? Lorenzo Garza, Pierre. I can't remember the guy's name. Miles Robinson. But those are players, like, you see how I'm naming those that championship team?
Yep.
Because that was important to me as an Atlanta United fan. That my team won. I was there at the soccer parade. It was nice. It wasn't going to be what the Falcons parade is going to be.
Absolutely not. If the Falcons win a Super Bowl, this city is going to lose its mind. Like, I can't describe for you the ravenous, and I'm going to use that word, ravenous effect that it's going to have on this city. You're going to have street lights torn down. You're going to have signs. It's going to be mayhem. And I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of it. My point in bringing it up was at 81 years old, Arthur Blank has taken a look and said, hey, the Braves have won. The Dogs have won back to back. Atlanta United has won. It is time. It is time for this franchise to take the next step and, you know, legitimize this franchise and win a championship. And so I think within the next 3, 4, maybe 5 years, there is a definite push to get that championship. And I think there's additional pressure. And because of that, I'm going to go on record as saying, you're probably going to see the Falcons and Arthur Blank do things within the next 5 years that heretofore they've never done. They've never done.
The win now mentality has picked up tremendously.
Yes.
Sometimes, and a friend told me this the other day, because, you know, I've been heavy on golf, right? Mm-hmm. I've gotten much better at playing golf, right? But I wasn't into golf as much as I was a year ago. But with time, things changed, right, Tim?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Now I'm out there, I'm killing the golf. I was out there today, I hit 260 off the driver, 260 off the tee.
That's what's up. That one that you hit 260 off of, did you make par or like?
No, I went over. I bogeyed, but I 260'd off the tee.
Okay.
On the last hole on number 9, I drilled them up.
Okay.
But it made me feel good to know that I came from a spot where I wasn't hitting 260 or more, 270 plus. But with time, things change. And it happens at your job. You didn't get a raise last week, but you got a raise today.
Amen.
With time, things change. And, of course, with the Falcons, it's been years.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at this team, looking at what could happen, looking at how they're rebuilding. And don't forget, they've been on the brink the past 3 or 4 years of making the playoffs. It's been a 1 or 2 game situation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the Panthers. We wasn't 2-15.
Yeah, I think we took a step back the past couple of years. But I think this year, I think we'll make the playoffs. And like you say, all you got to do is get into the dance, man. If you get into the dance, anything can happen. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me if the Falcons were 1-done. Anything can happen in the playoffs, right? Anything can happen. I'm excited about Raheem. I'm excited about – look – if you're in the NFL, the first thing you must do is you got to get your guys to believe,
mm-hmm.
right? If you look at Detroit, right, they started, 3-4 years ago? They ended up in the playoffs this year. But if you look at every single player on that team, they believe.
Mm-hmm.
They believe. They believe in the coach. They believe in the system. They believe in everything going. So much so that their offensive and defensive coordinators both stayed. Because they believe. And if the Falcons can start with that belief this year in our system and in Raheem, and I believe it's palpable. Because one thing about Raheem, Raheem makes you want to run through a wall, right? The first time I watched that conference, I was like, man, I want to hit somebody right now. I want to go outside at 54 years old and lay somebody out. And if I felt that way, and I'm not even a player, then I can only imagine how the Falcons felt. And if they can bring that drive, that oomph, that desire, that tenacity into this year with the talent that we have, I think not only can we win the NFC South, but watch out, right? Watch out. Because the Eagles were great for about 12 games last year, and then they just fell off, right?
Major fold. Hey. Major fold from the Eagles last year.
So anything can happen. All we got to do is make the dance, guys. And anything it can happen. So I'm excited about this upcoming year. I'm excited about what we're going to do in the draft. Man, if we can get Hassan Reddick, I want to echo John Michael's sentiment. If we can get Hassan Reddick and then go in and draft Dallas Turner, oh, my God.
How many scenarios now you can look at when you come into the draft or the Hassan Reddick rumor too as well. Big shout out to Lisa Shepherd, diehard Atlanta Falcon fan, blogging dirty too as well. Lisa Shepherd, she said, how would college championships bring pressure on an NFL team? I don't think the team is worried about that. Different levels. That is true.
That's a good question. But Lisa, I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, this is the South, right? And you can say that's a college team, but there are a lot of folks that support the Dogs that don't necessarily watch the Falcons. Understand, college football rules in the South, right? And so if you want to get some of those folks that watch on Saturday but don't watch on Sunday, you got to win a championship, right? I'm not saying you're going to convert everyone. I'm simply saying the pressure is there. You've got Georgia that won two back-to-back championships. You've got the Braves that won it in 2021. Some would argue that they're on the precipice of winning it this year. That remains to be seen. But I would imagine that there would be a certain amount of pressure. Arthur is 81 years old. He wants to get this done now. So that was kind of the perspective and what I was saying. But again, respect.
And also to piggyback off of that, I think, you know, for any NFL team, mm-hmm. is a strong amount of pressure to go win. I think the Houston Texans right now has the pressure. I think the Jets, they're definitely backs against the wall. Teams who haven't been to the playoffs in a long time, teams who haven't been to the Super Bowl or won a championship yet, the pressure is on them. For me, I spoke on, you know, the response of there are a lot of people on social media who kind of use the, oh, look at the Braves. Like they put like Braves won, United won, Hawks won, Falcons, what y'all gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that type of post. And yeah. I don't think the pressure is on the Falcons where they're looking at it to where, hey, guys, look, all these teams in the city won. We have to win now. I think they're gearing up for the level of success that we want. And people keep talking about the windows of 3-4 years. And that is good to know because that means we're gearing up for a Super Bowl here, Falcon fans. If everybody's looking at this, you've been so close. You've been so close. You've been so close. But you're rebuilding very well. And then you're putting the right pieces in place. And now there are fans saying the same thing that kind of I was saying too as well in my head and talking to some other fans. Before 2027, I think we have a Super Bowl here for the Falcons.
I would agree.
That's from not from the Kirk Cousins window. I was just looking at being on the brink the past couple of years where it's like, man, it's like you're making food, right? Like, and it's starting to taste good. Like, there's no way in hell you can put something in here to just mess up the food right now. It tastes so good. You're at the end of just, you're getting ready to dish out the damn plates in a minute. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting ready to eat. You cannot add something crazy to this dish to just mess it up. And yeah. The Falcons, I think they were doing that. They were stirring up the pot, getting that smell right, getting that taste right, getting that flavor right. And now they can go ahead and start serving it out and saying, look, we finna eat good.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. Because the team from Jesse Bates to Chris Lindstrom to Grady Jarrett too as well, AJ Terrell, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, you put Kurt into the mix too as well now, new head coach, new OC. Everything is really coming together now. It's really starting to pull together to say we're building the right pieces around not just one player. Some teams are looking at one player to be the main focus. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have multiple pieces.
They can
make them great.
They can beat you in multiple ways.
They can beat you in multiple ways too as well. Right now, this year, you got to look for a team that's probably going to try to outscore you again. And we do have to get a person and get a player and get some people who's going to be able to, you know, smack some people around and be some bullies out there, because that old Atlanta Falcons routine of outscoring them, I knew where they were going with that with Matt Ryan. It was like, put up a shit ton of points, 30 or more, 3-4 touchdowns, 300 yards. Matt Ryan looks great. Everything looks great. But in the fourth quarter, Matt Ryan still has the ball with 3 minutes left to go, getting ready to try to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what started that, right? Do you know what started that? That need to outscore folks? When Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, in 2010 came to Atlanta and shut this place down. A rumor has it that Arthur Blank was livid. And he said that day that, you know what, I want an offensive juggernaut. And in 2011, we drafted Julio Jones. We traded up so many spaces. We traded the whole draft for Julio Jones. So, you know, just a little historical reference there. But I think that where the Falcons are different this year than any other year is they are building this thing fundamentally better or fundamentally sound. And what I mean is, with football, in all football, it starts with the lines, offensive and defensive. Because if you can't get any push on your offense or defensive lines, forget about it. Everything else, it's not going to matter. I think we have a decent offensive line, and I think we are building a very good, if not championship, defensive line. And I think that is what's going to carry us. Because that, if you look at most teams that win a Super Bowl, they got a good offensive and defensive line. All you got to do is look at the Chiefs. Look at Chris Jones. Look at his counterparts. They got a good offensive and defensive line. So those are just my thoughts, but just wanted to hear your thoughts on what that was and where we're going.
I tell you right now, as a fan who's, you know, been on the brink of winning a Super Bowl and then going down into the darkness,
the abyss,
you know, the abyss of being on the brink of making the playoffs. Imagine that. I was once on the brink of winning the Super Bowl. Minutes away to years of now being on the brink of making the playoffs, hoping that a week 16 matchup, we can come away with a win and two other teams lose.
But that's what makes football great.
Not right? Not for 5 years now.
That's
it's not fun.
I got to be honest, Dad. There are teams that have never made the Super Bowl. I don't think the Cleveland Browns have ever made the Super Bowl.
We can
look at our franchise, but there's always somebody in a worse position. There are at least three or four teams that have never made it to the Super Bowl. And I am a firm believer that we will get back, Jack. I'm a firm believer.
I'm a firm believer in anything the Atlanta Falcons do.
Yeah.
That shows me as a fan that they want to win. And so far, I think that they are showing me as a fan that if we get the right pieces around Kirk Cousins, if we get the right pieces around Jesse Bates and Grady and AJ in this defense, there's going to be a lot of three and outs coming from the defensive side. Kirk Cousins is going to help this offense move the chains. Bijan, Drake London. I mean, we can talk about talent going on for days here in Atlanta with the players that we have. And then don't forget, we're getting ready to welcome about a good 8 to 14 guys in a matter of days here in Atlanta. That's going to be new members of the Atlanta Falcons. I think there's about 13 or 14 roster spots open right now. So for Falcon fans that's excited about what is happening right now, for those in the chat that said it is a tough schedule this year, it is a tough schedule. And the Saints know that they have a tough schedule too. And the Bucks know that they have a tough schedule too. And the Panthers know that they have a tough schedule too. So a lot of Falcon fans, you know, they do mention that it is a tough schedule. We got to be careful. We play the Cowboys and we play the Chiefs and so do the rest of the teams in our division, right? And we have to know that this team is going to be built to go win, to be successful, and to make Wallace Smith happy as a fan, to make Raymond Collins happy as a fan. So many people here in this chat want to win a Super Bowl.
Happy, and I saw you, Lisa.
Lisa Shepherd too as well. And Terry, you'll see Lisa Shepherd a million times before the season starts, or you'll probably chatting up with Lisa Shepherd a million times before the season starts, because there's real diehard fans that it could be 12 at night, it could be 2 in the morning, it could be 8 in the morning, it could be 3 in the afternoon. They're going to find some way, somehow, to talk Falcons football. Yeah, and I have talked to a lot of these people around different times of the day. And it doesn't matter. They know how to talk Falcons football. So big shout out to Lisa Shepherd.
Shout out to Lisa. Shout out to
everybody else here in the chat too as well.
I agree with you, Lisa. We need to break that drought. I agree with you 100%.
Big thing about it with the drought, you can get that, like John Michael said, you get that home playoff win. Or you might have, hold on, I'm sorry, with the home playoff win, you get the home playoff game.
Yeah.
You got the world watching. The Falcons are back in the playoffs. I mean, you talking this stuff a year from now, this is great if I can talk it up.
I'm not afraid of our schedule, right?
I'm not either, knowing that we're putting weapons around the people that need to be here.
Well, not just that, but honestly, the Cowboys are going to be without Dan Quinn as their defense coordinator. And Mike Zimmer is a good defense coordinator. I'll take nothing away from him, but there's still going to be an adjustment period. You get what I'm saying? So the Cowboys haven't signed anyone. Right, they have that 4-3 defense that you can run on. The Falcons run the ball very well. They got two stud running backs. They run the ball very well. So I'm not afraid of the Cowboys. The most difficult thing in sports to do is to repeat a championship. I'm not afraid of the Chiefs. I, for one, don't think they'll go for a three-peat. I don't even think they'll make the Super Bowl. I think they'll make the playoffs. But the most difficult thing to do in the world is to repeat a championship. Beyond that, it's almost impossible to three-peat. As a matter of fact, I don't even think it's been done in the NFL in the history of ever. So I'm not as worried about the schedule as most folks are, because, you know, some of the teams that you think are just going to be juggernauts, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
They will regress to the mean. They will take a step back. Not everybody. And I'm not saying this specifically about the Chiefs. I do think the Cowboys take a step back. I do. I definitely do. Does that mean they don't make the playoffs? I'm not saying that, but I think they take a step back. I don't know about the Eagles. The Eagles may be okay, but I'm not worried about the NFC. The Falcons could be the sixth seed in the NFC, the seventh seed. That could be the first seed. You don't know.
I can go full Eric Parker with this and be like, I ain't worried about nobody. They need to be worried about us.
Hey, no, Eric Parker would say we're going 17-0.
Would say we don't lose it. We don't lose games. We don't practice to lose.
Wherever you are, little brother. My brother would say we're going 17-0. My brother, if my brother were here, I'm a representative of my brother. He would say we're going to the Super Bowl. We're going 17-0 now. I don't personally believe that, but that's what he would say. He would say, we're going 17-0, and we're going to the Super Bowl. But my point is, I think the Falcons are in a great position. And if with the moves that they made, if they don't make another move, I still say we are a 10-win game. We play in a weak division. If they get Haason Reddick, if you draft the Dallas Turner, if you do all the things that I think they're going to do, I think it's unquestionably we're going to win the division, and we might make a little noise in the playoffs.
Falco fans, hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe button. This is not our new time slot, okay? It's still Sundays, Wednesdays at 8 p.m., and then we have our Friday morning, one time for the fan, breakfast with one time for the fan around like 9, 9:30, 10 around that time. Sometimes we might have some special guests that says, hey, we can come on 10:30 or 11 o'clock. We'll try to make sure that we get them on, because it's big to get special guests on. And you heard it from John Michaels. He wants to be on again and have a beer, have some drinks, talk Falcons football on the podcast with everybody. But John had already told me that he has a bunch of stuff to do, and he would love to get this podcast in as fast as we could, because like the fans want it. Right. Mm-hmm. So now that we have John on the first time, we can go ahead and get John back on again.
Yeah, we can. Right?
And we can go ahead and get any other special guests on too as well, because now I have a couple more special guests that I'm getting ready to announce here in a matter of days. That's going to be here on the podcast talking Falcons football with us, because we want to make sure that fans are excited and that they're entertained before the season starts. And of course, we have so much going on here with our draft show too as well. Draft night, not day two, day three. We did that in the past with Bodie. That was 12 hours that we can't get back. It was exciting, but it was 12 hours that we can't get back. There's going to be a draft show here on One Time for the Fan. So make sure you're telling your friends, you're telling your family, you're tagging your Falcon friends and family that night, day one, we're going to have a draft. It's going to start about, let's see, draft starts at 8. About 7:45, 7:50 or so, we'll go ahead and probably log in. We'll get some Falcon fans here talking Falcons football with us, some special guests too as well. We did it before last year. We're going to do it again this year on a bigger scale. We want fans to be excited about the new pick that the Falcons are going to select, the new player for the Falcons coming up in a matter of weeks. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Prepare for about a 2 to 3 hour podcast, because the way the NFL does it with the draft, we're looking at it starts about 8, around 8:30 they're probably in their fifth pick.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go at 8, we're probably almost close to, if I remember correctly, it was around like 8:51, Terry, close to 9. So fans in the chat, be prepared for what we're going to do on draft night, because it's going to be entertaining. Fans are going to have their TV on. They're going to listen to their broadcast. But tune into One Time for the Fan. Talk Falcons football with us. Bring your questions. Bring your comments. Of course, last year, everybody was talking Jalen Carter. And it was Bijan Robinson. And Bodie woke up that day in the chat and chose violence. Terry, everybody thought Jalen Carter.
I knew it was going to be Bijan. I knew it. I knew it the entire time. But because, again, Bijan, in my humble opinion, is a once-in-a-generation talent. We have not even scratched the surface of Bijan's potential because, you know, again, we didn't necessarily get adequate play from the quarterback position. You start, you put Kirk Cousins in there, you're going to really see who Bijan is.
Mm-hmm.
Really going to see that. You're going to really see who Tyler is. You're going to really see who Kyle is. You're going to really see who Drake is, because you're going to be able to get these guys the ball in space where they can do something. That's another key thing that Kirk Cousins does very well. He gets you the ball in space where you can run. There's a difference when you throw the ball where I have to dive, right? It's 3rd and 5 and you throw it, and I got to dive and I got a first down. Whereas if you throw it where I can keep running. Mm-hmm. So not only do I get the 5 yards we needed, but now I get another 10. And I think Kurt, with his accuracy, does that very well. So we're going to find out who Bijan is. I knew it was going to be Bijan, and no disrespect to Jalen Carter, but I think the Falcons needed it. And we'll see. You know, we'll see if I was right or wrong, but I knew it was going to be Bijan. I knew it was going to be Bijan the entire time. I'm not so sure about this year's draft. You know, it could be Dallas Turner. I don't know what the Falcons are going to do. I'm excited if it's Dallas Turner. I'm excited if it's Verse. I'm excited if it's dude from UCLA. I can't say his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one of those three, I'm good, right? If it's a receiver, I don't know.
You're going to eat. He gonna eat. They made a point for it on the radio today. They talked about Marvin Harrison. If he's on the board, do you pass on that? The cool thing about it here is, on One Time for the Fan, we have a couple of podcasts before the draft where we're gonna do the same thing like we did for free agency. We're gonna talk about different scenarios that can happen, because that's the cool thing about having a podcast, right? We can talk about things that could possibly happen, where a Hassan Reddick trade could mean maybe the Falcons want to trade back. And like I asked John, if you're trading away picks to go get Hassan and you can grab your guy between 10 and 15 and you don't need that 8, I'm sure there's going to be 3 teams or 4 teams calling up to get that 8 to get their guy. and you can pick up the phone and say, hey, sure, yeah, we'll go back to 12, and we'll take your, let's see, your second or your third rounder. We'll appreciate that. And matter of fact, let's take the sixth rounder too in 2026. We'll take that too. So it's cool if you can get any type of trade scenario where if it is Hassan Reddick, and that would be great to have Hassan Reddick on our team. That'd be great. But until it happens, right now I'm looking at the Falcons team, right? And I talked to Eric Parker the other day. I talked to a lot of Falcon fans the other day. Big shout out to DSGB Hall in the chat too as well. Big shout out to Pam Johnson. Auntie Pam's in the chat too as well. Big shout out to Auntie Pam here. Falcon fans, just be happy with the player they're going to select. They've built a really good offseason so far to where if it is edge rusher, if it is Dallas Turner, you're going to be happy. I mean, look at Dallas Turner's tape. Look at the combine. Look at so far. I mean, the not rumor, but it was reported that they have an interview coming up with Dallas Turner too as well. The young man from Washington is phenomenal. And looking at his tape and his pro day, come on now, Falcon fans. To land any one of those two guys, you should be clapping your hands. Also, Jared Verse is another name. The Quentin Mitchell pick from Toledo, or the Lassiter pick that people are talking about, or go get a cornerback. If that's the guy that the Falcons want to go with, then that's what they're going to do. I'm hoping that the Falcons were going to make a move for a cornerback some way this week. So maybe we can see a CB2 locked up before the draft. Right? Because if you see a CB2 locked up before the draft and they make the Hassan Reddick trade, maybe they are going corner in round one and trading back. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a CB2, but you just locked up Hassan Reddick. Don't forget about Arnold Ebuketi. Right? Zoe Carter, too, as well, is on your team. David Amiata. I mean, it's possible, but these are the scenarios that we can talk about. That's the cool thing about the podcast. That was one of the 100 scenarios that can happen. I don't see the Falcons moving up. Fans were saying, move up.
Yeah,
move
I don't.
Up for what?
Right.
What are we moving up for? We got our quarterback.
Exactly.
We have a running back. Go ahead, Terry.
If you can get Minnesota to give you an 11 and a 23, I'm for that all day.
I'm looking right now, Terry, like somebody between 10 and 16 wants to move up. And I see a team right now in the red and black that if they make a Hassan Reddick trade and they lose picks and they still have to fill that depth chart, and Terry's been a good, a great draft scout with his crew, and Raheem too as well. I mean, right, this is Raheem's first year, but we saw what they drafted in L.A. too as well when he was with that coaching staff. But Terry has done a phenomenal job in that scouting department. And if this is a move where you do acquire a Heretic, then you maybe want to trade back and collect some pieces, which is absolutely fine. But if you stay at 8, and I was telling Eric this the other day too, if this Latu is moving up the board to even pass Dallas Turner, well, if Latu goes at 5 or 6, then do you want to trade back from 8? Do you keep at Dallas Turner right there at 8? Do you go corner? Right now, we need to see a couple more moves from the Falcons before the draft. Because the free agency is still open. If they make a bunch of restructures tomorrow and they acquire a shit ton of cap space, maybe the trade is going to go through. Maybe it's going to happen. If not, maybe they bring in a couple young guys via draft that could help fill some of these spots. But I don't think the Falcons are done yet. I don't think they're done.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think they're done. Even with the $4 million right now, or the $3 million, I don't think they're done. They know what they want, and I'm glad we talked to John tonight too as well. Some fans were saying, oh, restructure a couple guys and open up $15 million. No, John's talking about $40 million, north of $40 million.
That would be phenomenal. I don't know.
Great.
Done, but if we do, that would be very good.
And he broke down too as well how you can make that happen. That's why John is on radio. Matter of fact, as soon as John got in, he joined the podcast, we asked him the first question. It sounded like he was like somebody hit like on air. Remember what I'm saying? Like, you ready to go, John? Bam, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, exactly.
He's been in radio doing sideline for the Falcons for so long. Reports, all this type of stuff, man. It's great when you can get somebody like John in here to talk Falcons football. Because I tell you, the moment John jumped in, you felt the energy of somebody who wants to go win. He's been on the sidelines, walking up and down the sideline with the team, interviewing the coaches, speaking with the players. And that, and he's a Hurricane fan too as well, and that's tough. Had a little shot there. Go Dawgs. This is great, talking Falcons football with everybody tonight. I want to make sure that everybody is back for our, what is today, Wednesday? For our Friday morning, one time for the fan, breakfast with one time for the fan. Friday morning, it's going to be great. We have a lot to talk about, Terry. And then, of course, we have another show Sunday. Yes, we have a special guest on Sunday, and it's looking like it's Scott Kurecik.
Awesome. Right? Love
it's looking like it's Scott Kurecik. Scott's like, hey, man, give me a time right now so I can let the wife know. Trying to catch Myles Garrett in special guest appearances.
Love it.
So now I got to go text Myles like, yeah, Scott is creeping up on you on special guest appearances right now. I think Myles is at like 7. Scott's at like 5.
Got to let him know. Got to let him know.
Falcon fans, hit that like, share, and subscribe button. Don't forget, this is not our new time. We did this today because of John Michaels. We wanted to make sure that fans can hear what John Michaels has to say on One Time for the Fan. And he could have said 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He could have said 12 o'clock midday. He could have said 11 o'clock at night. We were going to come here and talk Falcons football with John Michaels. And that's what's great when you have people around you who love talking Falcons football. The support system has also been overwhelming from the fans, from Twitter to social media to everybody in the Rise Up Tour. Like, you know what we're trying to do here when it comes to bringing the fan base together, bringing the, you know, the community together, away games with the Rise Up Tour too as well. This cruise that we have coming up, we have over 100 Falcon fans on the cruise, Terry. And I'm just surprised, like, the commitment, the dedication of some of these fans that is a part of this Rise Up Tour group. And then a lot of the fans who's getting ready to be added to the group too as well. I think we have over close to 50-plus fans that want to be added to the group right now. Because we're taking over on a whole new level, man. So, Falcon fans, if you're going to any away games this year, and we don't deal with much when it comes to the home games, fans were like, oh, do some home stuff. We might. We have. It's been great. But we focus on away games. And that's our main focus too as well. So, community events, we got a bunch of that stuff too as well. Hit that like, share, and subscribe button one time for the fans. You can see it right there, the Rise Up Tour membership group. When you go to check out, hit OTFTF when you check out. You can go ahead and get your discount too as well on that membership. But we have the swag bags. The kits are on the way for a lot of Falcon fans who signed up early. But big shout out to everybody who's a part of the Rise Up Tour. Everybody also on Twitter, X, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. Everything has been great so far, and we are closing in on 1,000 subscribers. I just want to say thank you. You know, we're not there yet.
Yes.
We are not there yet.
Yes.
We're like 707 or so. But where we started to where we are right now, it starts with people like Raymond Collins, Tyreek Johnson, Pamela Johnson, Auntie Pam,
Lisa Shepherd.
Lisa Shepherd, DSGB Hall, Carrie,
EB,
Bodie, Chase, everybody. Mm-hmm. Reginald Jones, big shout out to Reginald Jones too as well. You're helping us get to 1,000 subscribers. The fans love it. The chat loves it. The everybody who's in here. We've never had any issues, right? When it comes to talking Falcons football.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in here knows One Time for the Fan is about that. Bringing people together, you know what I'm saying? Wallace Smith, you can come in here and talk Falcons football with us all the time. Everybody, Kenneth too as well. I know how Kenneth is right now, man. It's tough. Kenneth is like, why do we go get Kirk Cousins? You know what I'm saying? But when Kenneth, when we get this record and we start winning, bro, we start getting back on track. You know, you'll probably be in here saying, "Hey, man, we're getting ready to go to the playoffs, or we're getting ready to win this division," which is great, right? And I have a Falcon fan. I have a Falcon friend who is not a Kirk Cousins guy, Terry. He is not a Kirk Cousins guy. He is saying, why do we do this? I can't believe we did it. But guess what? He is still going to be in his seats week one.
There you go.
He's still going to be there repping the team. He did not turn in his season tickets.
There you go.
But when I talked to him the other day for about an hour and a half, it was, please explain to me how Kirk Cousins can make this team better for an hour and a half. And then I go on and I go on and I go on. And he's like, yeah, man, I feel you, but this is what you could have did with the money. At the end of the day, I'm not the Falcons. You're not the Falcons. We are not the Falcons. They're trying to convince us that this team is going to be good. We're going to be here on the platform to talk about it. As fans, it's exciting to see. It's the off season. You have a lot of people talking about the team's doing this in this direction or a team is doing this in this direction. When we win, there's only going to be one direction. Huh? You see that? That's a good one. It's going to be one direction, like the group. You guys get it? Did you guys get that one? Anybody? Nobody? Did you get it, Terry?
I got it.
Chat, did you get it? The One Direction? The group? The music group? You guys? No, all right, fuck it. One time for the fan. It don't matter if Lisa Shepherd tells me 100 different ways that the Falcons can win. Or if Travis Preston tells me 100 different ways that the Falcons can win. When we win, we won.
Absolutely.
And we will continue being the fan base that's going to bring people together. Mm-hmm. That's going to continue to drive the force to the NFL that the Falcons can win on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate everybody who's been here in the chat, rocking with us since day one, representing One Time for the Fans since day one, and just enjoying the content. At the end of the day, we do it for you all. I could do something else for an hour and a half during the day. I'm sure Terry can find something else to do. But podcast upon podcast upon podcast, Sundays, Wednesdays, now we have the Friday show. Now we're just getting ready to find a new time slot. So much going on. Oh, also, too, as well, big shout out to everybody with One Time for the Fan, right? And yes, we do want to make sure that everybody here is always respected with One Time for the Fan. Our girl Kiki is no longer with One Time for the Fan. But she is great. She is amazing. And she is our friend. So support Kiki on her journey. If she's going to continue with podcasting or if she's not going to continue with podcasting, she has a lot going on. But she is a diehard Atlanta Falcon fan. So when you see Kiki on the road or if you see Kiki at the home game, say what's up. Throw a football at her. She can catch it. Throw a football at her. She can catch it. But at the end of the day, she's a diehard Atlanta Falcon fan. But we don't have Kiki no longer here with One Time for the Fan. So I know fans have been asking, where's Kiki? Where's Kiki? Where's Kiki? She's not here no more with One Time for the Fan. But she is a diehard Atlanta Falcon fan. And we do support Kiki all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm sure she will be there at the parade too as well. We're going to have spots for everybody. It's going to be kind of cool. We're going to try to get about 10 parking spaces. Don't know how we can make that happen now. But when it happens, we're going to be in New Orleans with about a shit ton of tailgate supplies. We're going to party. We're going to win. And then we're going to go parade back in Atlanta. But One Time for the Fan is always about the fans. And I do want to say thank you to all. That was my shout out, Terry. The shout out was to everybody.
Absolutely.
We're closing in on 1,000 subscribers. And I think everybody needs to know that, you know, it could be 10,000 subscribers. It could be 20,000 subscribers. It could be 15,000 subscribers. I don't care. It's about the fans.
Amen.
It's about the fans.
Amen.
So thank you all for being a part of One Time for the Fan. Terry, any shout outs before we go ahead and get up out of here? No 8 o'clock show. This is the show for the Wednesday, and we'll be back Sunday with our special guest. But Terry, any shout outs for today, brother?
Just the usual. First and foremost, I want to thank God for him. There is not, if not for him, I'm not even here today. So I want to thank him. I want to thank the fans. Thank you for the interaction. Thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for just being here. Thank you for specifically to the One Time for the fans. And, you know, obviously, thank you to my family. And Jack, thank you to you, man. You keep inviting me. I'll keep coming back. I love doing this with you. Enjoy it.
Okay, so I'm not going to invite you no more. No, you're good. Look at Eric Parker texting me like, I'll come on the podcast. I'll do the damn podcast. I'm LBB.
It's going to be your last day today, T-Will. No. Hey, no, I defer to you. I'm just glad to be here. So there you go.
Hey, Falcon fans, I gave my shout outs already. It's for Marina. It's even for you, Kenneth. You know, Three certainties, Falcons, 7 wins, 10 steals below. I understand how you're feeling, Kenneth, and there's no knock to you, man. The Falcons got to make you believers. They got to make you a believer. That's what it is. And if they do that, you'll be in here saying, hey, man, rise up. I was once on the other side. I seen the darkness. Well,
Jack, I'm going to be honest with you. I can remember years where, you know, the guys we signed, like, you knew you didn't have a chance. I mean, I remember us signing Joey Harrington.
Oh, right? God.
I remember the Vic
the Byron Leftwich ears.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'd rather be this error when we have a shot at making it than, you know, previous regimes where you knew there was no chance. You knew when, what was that coach's name? What was his name, Jack?
Petrino?
Yeah. You knew when Petrino was there. We were dead in the water. You knew it. You knew it.
Bobby Petrino. Yeah. You did make that look on your face, too, when I said, I think I said when I wasn't going to invite you back, you had made a look on your face like, what? 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 You made a look on your face, man. Mac Don Dirty said, what's up, fellas? He's in the chat. Talking Falcons football here. Big shout out to MacTown Dirty. MacTown, we had a great show with John Michaels here on the podcast. Joseph Avery said, hey, fellas, I see that we have gone pretty heavy on offense and free agency. Are we going to go heavy on defense, mostly in the draft?
I think
go
so.
Falcons, rise up. Terry?
I would think so, yeah. I would think you kind of have to. You're going to need some edge rushers. You're going to need a cornerback. You probably need one more linebacker at least. So, yeah, I would say we've got, what, 8 picks? I'd say at least 5 or 6 go to defense. Maybe you get, you know, another, and maybe 5. You need at least 2 more receivers. You need a running back. So my thoughts are maybe 5 go to defense, 3 go to offense.
Cool thing about it is the Falcons still have a couple more days to work some moves. I mean, they have a long period of time to work some moves. Free agency is going to be something where they can look at who's the last of the last.
Mm-hmm.
That can make an impact for this team for a cheap value. I mean, we're not going to go out there and just spend $15, $20 million on some, you know, 3-4 sack guy right now. That's ridiculous. Look at what's available, what you need, players who have been consistent in winning systems, players who can bring a accountability and a leadership. I don't care if it's a one-year deal or not. People like Lorenzo Carter, Calais Campbell, Bud Dupree, some one-year deals can bring a major impact. And Terry was eating good off those one-year deals after Matt Ryan and Julio to make that cap get to where we are right now. So maybe you can make some more moves too as well. You heard John Michael speak about Calais Campbell on a money-friendly deal to get him back in the building. Why? Because now this may be the playoff push, and you want a guy like Calais Campbell around and that attitude. I saw Calais last year multiple games where, remember he told us he was supposed to be playing like 60% of the time in that interview before the season started. He was damn near on the field every single play for the Atlanta Falcons, right? So for a guy like Calais, I saw it in his face in the Tennessee game. Because, you know, a lot of times I'm sitting home games, away games, I'm like right there behind the bench with the team, sideline, 50-yard line. If I'm going away to away games, I'm going to be on the visiting side behind the bench, right? I'm not sitting up in the 500 Raptors. What is the purpose? So for the Falcons, I'm sitting right there. I'm watching the game. And you see Calais come off the field, and the look on his face is just like, I can give him about 2 more years right now. I give him, put me back on the field right now. Is it 3rd down? Put me back on the field. Like, you can just see it in his face. Like that slap video, he got that dog in him. Mm-hmm. Calais has that dog in him.
And he does.
I would love to see Calais here another year, knowing that we have a Kirk Cousins in the building, veterans that's been in, you know, systems of, you know, they can talk to the younger guys. They can, you know, bring this younger group together. I think the Falcons are still one of the youngest teams in the league right now. It'd be great to have a guy like Calais back. It'd be great to have some more accountability and some leadership in the locker room that people can look at and say, Calais has been a professional his whole career. Kirk Cousins has been a professional his whole career. Grady Jarrett, Jesse Bates. There's some real professionals in that building. Right. And then you guys, Cardale Hodge with the TikTok. Big shout out to TikTok too, as well. But a bunch of professionals in that building. I'm all for it. And as a diehard Atlanta Falcon fans, you can see Travis Preston. Calais brings much needed veteran leadership.
He does.
Big.
He does. That is big.
MacTown Dirty said, any words on HBCU players? Nothing that I've heard yet, MacTown Dirty. Haven't heard nothing yet, man.
Good question.
That is a good question, though, too, as well, because they had the combine, and, you know, after the combine for the HBCU players, they just kind of just get they just lost into the system. If you didn't – we're not throwing shots, but most would say if you didn't play D1 ball, it's like it's tough. You know what I'm saying? How do you – how do we go get a guy from Grambling or a guy from Southern versus a kid that went to Alabama, right? I mean, talent is all over the board. And I'm not going to be the one to say, oh, no, the kid from Southern is nowhere near the kid from Alabama. No. The way the NFL is looking at it, they're going to go with that kid from Alabama first versus the kid from Southern.
An advocate if you go to an HBCU. You got to really have somebody looking out for you. You got to have somebody banging the drum for you, you know, if you're going to do that. So,
Falcon fans, hit that like, hit that share, hit that subscribe button. Anthony Long is in the chat. He says, Super Bowl, go Falcons all the way. Don't forget, if you're checking in from Facebook, head on over to YouTube as we're closing in on 1,000 subscribers. Don't forget, I said we are closing in on 1,000 subscribers. Not one time for the fan. We, MacTown Dirty. Guess what, MacTown Dirty? We are closing in on 1,000 fans, right? Travis Preston, we are closing in on 1,000 subscribers, right? So hit that like, share, and subscribe button. I thank you all. There's going to be a couple other content creators going live shortly. We'll be back Friday morning, breakfast with One Time for the Fan. We'll be back Sunday evening, One Time for the Fan, our usual time slot at 8 p.m. Terry, I thank you, sir, for talking Falcons football with us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
BLB, see you Friday morning.